I've enjoyed what's gone before. I'll promise you tonight that there's no one in this house who wanted to be here this weekend more than I did. And Lord's blessed. I'm able to be here. I don't know how much good I'll be. But I'm here and I'm so very thankful to be. I must pause to tell you that it has been communicated to me repeatedly over the last 4 months that you brethren here in Central Georgia, Middle Georgia, were praying for me. And I appreciate that so very much. I must mention two sisters, and I don't believe either one of them is here, but Sister Holly Howard, very early in my affliction, sent word by Brother Stephen that she could be of benefit to me and help to me, and she has diligently worked with me in her field as a speech and language pathologist to help me maintain the ability to speak through the treatment that I have gone through. And that's been an invaluable blessing to me. And I verily believe I'm much better off today than I would have been without Sister Holly's help. And I'm so very thankful for that. Sister Teresa Johnston, also from Trail Branch, made me a beautiful quilt and a matching tote bag to carry it in. And she sent me a very sweet note and said that when her father was undergoing treatment for cancer, the treatment rooms were always cold, and she liked to send quilts to people who were being treated. Now, the room that I was being treated in was not cold, but I appreciated the gift very, very much. I've gotten cards and notes and telephone calls and text messages, and I've appreciated every one of them. But that was a couple of things that stood out in that experience for me. Now the clock. I don't know how long ago this has been. The brother who said it is gone. No longer in this world, he's in glory. But several years ago I was here. Brother Sam knows I never did learn to adjust to the 11 o'clock starting hour. That's just foreign to me. And I love you, brother, and I'm not trying to pick on you. That's just not the way we do at home. So I've always preached a little longer than most of you brethren here in this area. It's just the way it is. So I was here probably 15 years ago, 12 years ago. And I in trying to talk about the simple order of our worship, I started talking about things we don't have. And I don't know what you came to see, I told the congregation that morning, but we don't have any pictures on the wall. We don't have any statue in the building. I named several things we didn't have, and old Brother Little, sitting right there where Brother Doyle is sitting tonight, spoke up and said, but we do have a clock. So, I had it brought to my attention that there is a way to know when it's time to quit. I love that brother. He apologized later. He really wasn't throwing that at me, but it sounded sort of like it at the time. Call your attention tonight to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's not like a flashlight. We shine a flashlight into darkness. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When did God do that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light. And I love the profound, simple expressions of the Bible. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you make that any more profound? But can you make it any more simple? God said, and it was so. You know God's still speaking, and it still is so. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now, from the expression of the apostle, it appears to me that he's saying our hearts were dark. There was no light in my heart. But God hath shined in our hearts. I didn't do it. And the preacher didn't do it.
That's right.
I love preachers. I love the gospel message. I love to come to the house of God and get a little glimpse of light on a text I didn't understand. Brother Ronnie, in what I guess must have been an unusual experience for him, confessed that Brother Adam Green recently converted him on a verse. Now there's a young... I better not get into that. I ain't going no farther. God is shining in our hearts. That put a light in us that was not there before, and it won't go out. You know, when I was a kid, light bulbs didn't last long. You remember that? You buy a package of 60-watt light bulbs, and we didn't have but 4 light bulbs in our house, and we put one in each little cord that hung out of that ceiling. Had those kinds you pull the chain to turn them on and off, you know. And they wouldn't last very long. 3-4 weeks, you had to replace them. Got these LED lights now. Man, they just last and last and last. Well, this is better than an LED.
Amen.
It won't go out. You can shake it. You can beat it against it. And it won't go out. It came from God. And I believe it's one of those all things God is upholding by the word of his power. He's keeping it there. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Now, he didn't give us the knowledge, but he gave us the ability to learn. He gave us the light, the capacity to see truth.
Amen. That's it.
The natural man cannot see the truth, but you can see the truth. I got to keep my voice down or I'll lose it. You can see the truth. I rejoice to see a little morsel of truth. Spiritual truth, you understand.
Amen.
Truth that confirms my cause of hope. Truth that points me to glory and says to me that there's hope for me, that I'll live with God some happy day.
Amen.
That sort of light is a great blessing to me. Did not the psalmist David say, "Thy word is a light unto my path and lamp unto my feet," something like that. Oh, I tell you, the written word of God is a lamp, but the spoken word of God is a lamp. And God has put the ability within you and me to see, and he calls it the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What treasure? This light in earthen vessels. Somebody's talked about light shining through the being of a man and glistering rays. Because of the light that was within, coming out. You know, an earthen vessel, you can't see the light inside an earthen vessel. You remember at Jericho, when they broke those earthen vessels and let the candles shine? You and I have this treasure in an earthen vessel. This body in which we are captives tonight is an earthen, made of earth. And it obscures that light. I love you, Brother Chris, but if you could get rid of your earthiness, we could see the light in you much more clearly. I don't have time to call all your names. But if I could, I would. And it'll fit. And if James could get rid of the earthiness that is this outward man, you could see the light that is in me. Oh, I believe it's there. I believe God put it there. But I believe this flesh obscures that light. It gets in our way. We have this treasure, but it's an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I came in this building tonight and there was a glow coming out of my body that was so brilliant that these lights didn't even appear to light the room, everybody in here would be looking at me and talking about what a glorious thing's going on with that brother. He's just glowing in the dark. Man, it's not meant for you and me to have this glory. Amen. This glory belongs to God.
Amen.
And we have this treasure indeed, Amen. But we have it in earthen vessels that remind us that the glory's not mine. It doesn't come from me. And I ought not be given the glory for the light that's in me. I ought not be given even credit for the light that is in me. That glory goes to my heavenly Father,
Amen.
Who's commanded the light to shine out of darkness. But because of this treasure we have in this earthen vessel, Paul said we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Yet not distressed. I was in the hospital earlier this year. There was an older lady across the hall from me. I don't know if there was any light in that old lady or not. But I'm telling you, there was a lot of violence. She lied to nurses. She lied to doctors. She yelled and screamed and threatened to sue them. I mean, day and night that went on. They lost a half a pack of cigarettes that she'd had when she came into the hospital and couldn't find them for when she checked out, and she's going to sue them. Now, I don't know what a half a pack of cigarettes is worth, but she's going to have trouble getting a lawyer to take that case, I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, that's just the nature of her character. And those poor nurses would go in and do whatever they had to do with her. And they'd come out of there so beaten down. And then they'd come in my room. And I'd feel so sorry for them. And I'd try to cheer them up. And my daughters, who felt like they better not leave Daddy here by himself because he might do something bad, they sat with me around the clock for a while. My daughters were trying to encourage them and say, we hear what you're having to put up with. We're so sorry. You're good nurses. You don't deserve that. Yes, sir, I'm telling you, this old earthen vessel, it keeps the light from showing like it ought to show. And I couldn't say she doesn't have a light, but I sure couldn't see it. I sure couldn't hear it. 24 hours a day there for 4 or 5 days. We're troubled, though, you and I are, on every side. Now, I have a problem. You have a problem. We all have problems, don't we? Anybody in here tonight who doesn't have a problem? I mean, I don't know what yours are. I have grandchildren, you know, and they were down at the house, some of them, not all of them. They were part of them there the other day, and that set of kids. The oldest boy said, "Grandpa, I got my first big physics test tomorrow. Freshman in college. Got my first big physics test tomorrow. And I can't stay long. I got to get home and study. I'm concerned. If I don't make a good grade on this test, it's going to be tough to make an A in that class, and I need it for my scholarship." And he's troubled about that physics grade. His little brother said, "Grandpa, I asked a girl out, and she said yes. But we couldn't find a time when we both had time to go out. But we said we'll work it out." And the next time I saw him, I said, "Son, how's your social schedule going?" He said, "Well, I kept texting her, but she quit texting me." You know, the little fella's got a problem. He's 17 years old. And he's kind of like me. I was awfully bashful at that age. And it's been a real challenge for him to get up the nerve to talk to a young lady, and he finally worked up the nerve, and then it didn't work out. And then his little brother, the third one of the boys, I don't know whether he has any problem. I mean, he don't ever say that. I chew on him, and it don't even seem to trouble him. But sometimes, our little fella gets awful troubled about his sin. I've told stories about him. You've probably heard one of them about he said he was going to go jump in a volcano because he just kept starting over and he couldn't ever get it right. Troubled. And yet, we're not distressed. Don't go away from here tonight in a panic. There's nothing to panic about. That light that is in you that came from God testifies that God is on his throne and his power is not diminished, and he's been watching over us all these years, and he's still there and he's still watching for us, and though we're troubled on every side, we're not distressed. Or we may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. All right, I want to move down. For all things, need to be careful with this all, Brother Chris. For all things are for your sakes. Now, that all things is everything Paul was enduring for the preaching of the gospel. Amen. You know, he says over in 2 Timothy 2:10, is that where that is? Under all things for the elect's sakes, that they may... Can't quote it. Also obtain. Let me go turn and read it. There's no use trying to quote it and butcher it. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He wasn't doing anything for them to get eternal glory, but he's doing everything that he does that they may have that timely salvation. Amen. That salvation that is in addition to eternal salvation, but it is in Christ. You can't have this timely deliverance outside Christ. Amen. It's not available outside Christ. It's available only to those who are in Christ, who are alive in Christ, and who are believers of the gospel message as it was preached by the Apostle Paul. But if you have that, it's in addition to your home in heaven. I like to have an add-on, don't you? Amen. Oh, heaven's good, but this add-on's sweet. And we can have it today. In this earthen vessel, we can have it today. Verse 17. For our light affliction... Oh, people don't like it when you tell them that their troubles are light. They really don't. I've told one or two of you today that in the hospital that I've been using there at home for my treatments, there's a fairly large facility. They're treating lots of folks for cancer. And I've seen situations and cases. Now look, every day I went there, I was able to walk in, walk out. You know, I had a problem. But hopefully my problem's been resolved. There are people in there getting treated who can't walk in. They can't walk out. They can barely hold their head up. They're sick. They're hurting. One dear sister has had amputation of limbs from cancer. Pitiful. Pitiful. But you know, you could walk up to that precious thing, sick as she was and as badly scarred and mangled as she is, and ask her how she is, and she'd give you a very pleasant answer. Our light affliction. What makes it light? We'll get your text, Brother Doyle. You preached at Reveille 10 years ago, probably. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Oh, but for a moment. I'm not trying to get your sympathy, and I know I'm running out of time, but I can't very well see that far. But it's for a moment. You know, if you're going to tell me that I got to endure something, but you can tell me how long, and it's not very long, I can probably make it. And what they did in order to hold me still, and maybe a dozen of you that have been through this, I don't know. But they fastened your head to the bed. Tight. And it's tight enough that if they ask you a yes and no question, you can't say yes or no because you can't get your mouth open. And you can't shake your head no or yes. You have to do thumbs up and thumbs down to answer a yes or no question because your head's so rigidly held in place. The one thing that I made sure that I could do as they pinned me down every morning was I made sure I could swallow. Because if you couldn't do that, you had to get out. You had to be able to swallow the saliva. But I knew how long it lasted. I had to be there. They said 8 minutes, but I learned it was really 7. And the first morning I was there, as I was about to panic, the expression came to me, that thy God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And as they snapped those pins down on that mask over, they called it a mask, it was a cage, over my face and over my head, the next 27 mornings they did that, I quoted that verse to myself. If God's arms are under me, and it's just for a moment anyway, I'll be okay. They gave me an emergency signal that I could do with my feet to tell them if I had to get out because I couldn't speak. But I never had to do that. Some people do, but I didn't because I knew it was just for 7 minutes. And I can handle this for 7 minutes. If you tell me you're going to put me in there an hour, I may come unbobbed. I don't know. But for 7 minutes, I can do this. Now, I couldn't see a clock. I couldn't see a watch. But I learned the pattern of the machine. And I could kind of mark the time as it went along. And when that thing was over here on this side and moved back across my body to this side, I knew I'm down to about a minute and a half. I'm doing all right. I'm about to get out of here. It's but for a moment. I tell you, folks, I don't know what your trouble is, but there's just a moment left for you to endure it, and you're going to be delivered from it. Amen. Our life is just a moment. What's your problem tonight? Somebody not treating you right? Is somebody talking ugly to you? Somebody got you mad and wanting to lash out? Be patient. It'll only last a moment. Are you elated because you're some super athlete? Are you rejoicing in your wealth tonight? Are you puffed up because of your accomplishments? That ain't going to last but a moment. Don't get too high and mighty. It's all going to pass here in a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I thank God tonight that I don't have but a moment left on this earth to deal with these problems. But I do thank God I have a moment left so I can spend a little time in meetings like this rejoicing in the mercy of a loving God. And pointing, I trust, believers in the Lord Jesus out of His power to deliver and His care for us and the fact that He's loving us and that in the moment we have left, He will not leave us nor forsake us. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now the next word is while, but I would like for you to understand it means if. It's if and while. Right. While we look, we got to be looking in the right place. Got to be looking in the right place. Lift up your eyes. Look unto the hills from which cometh your salvation. Ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brethren, it's mighty important where we look. It really is. As we rode across Alabama and Mississippi and part of Georgia coming over here the other morning, yesterday afternoon, talking about the scenery. You know, we came through some beautiful farmland. We came through some pine trees. We came through some junk timber. We came through flat land, we came through rolling hills, we came through some beautiful places. And we were looking at those various things. Where are you looking tonight? I tell you, if you're in trouble, forget about your trouble, look to Jesus. You say it's kind of hard to do when I'm hurting. It is, but it's not impossible. It can be done. We can look to Jesus. We can call upon His name. God has granted us that great privilege of speaking to Him while we live in this low ground. And Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen with these natural eyes, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we look at what we can't see. That's where we need to be looking. We need to be looking where our eyes, these natural eyes, can't see. I can look through that ceiling. Jesus is up there somewhere. He's here. But He's there. And I'm looking for Him to come from up there. I believe He's coming. And if I'm alive and remain when He comes, I don't want to miss it. I've missed a lot of things in my life that I could have seen. But I didn't look at the right time. But I believe there's going to be enough noise. You know, there's going to be a trumpet sound. There's going to be an angel shout. Jesus is going to shout. All that going on, look up. He's coming. Can you see it by faith? If you can see it by an eye of faith, you're looking at things which are not seen. And if you're looking at things which are not seen, those things that are not seen become very exceeding precious to you. And if you're being tempted, if you're being tossed, if you're being sick, if you're being hurting, if you're being persecuted, if you're being afflicted in any way, and you're looking to Jesus, He just gets brighter and brighter. And heaven gets to be more and more precious. More and more. I'm afraid I've invested way too much time trying to attach myself to this world and its glitter. But I found there's something better. And I'm only going to be here a moment, good or bad. And then I'm going home to be with the Lord forever. Won't be any end to that one. All right. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But let me move into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm out of time, but you bear with me. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, but this vessel is going to dissolve. What happens when this earthly vessel dissolves? Well, what happened when they broke those pitchers back over there at Jericho? Every light shined out, did it not? And it looked like it was just a whole bunch of lights out there to the folks in the city. Oh, friends, when Jesus comes to get us, or when we lay down in death and this earthly body is dissolved, that light's going to shine. But it's not going to be shining on this earth. It's going to be shining in heaven. Now I'm going to take this text out of context, and I confess that. But the writer said, no man lighteth a candle and putteth it under a bushel. Well, what does he do with it? He puts it on a candlestick that it may give light to all that are in the house. Now that text, as it's written, I believe applies to the New Testament church. Amen. And if God has put that light in you, you don't need to hide it. You don't need to deny it. What you need to do is to break that earthen vessel, let that light shine forth, come to the house of God, ask for a home with these brethren, put your light on their candlestick so that your collective lights give light to all that are in the house. All right? Now that's what you ought to do. What God's going to do for you when he takes you out of this world is he's going to put you in heaven and he will be the light there, and you can love that light and see by that light, and there won't be any night there. It can't get any better than to be able to see the light of God's face. Thank you for your good attention.